Hey, grandkids, welcome to OPA 32. We are only 17 episodes behind the number of this past year's Super Bowl, Ken.
Wow, that's, let me do the math. So 32 plus 17 is 49. Yep, it checks out.
My math is good. Excellent. Good way to start the show.
Sorry, I wasn't able to give that to you in Roman numerals, because that's the official numerals of the NFL.
This would be episode XXXII.
II.
We're
off to a great start already.
Yep. I try to give Ken a segue right away, but anytime I try to be nice, he just dynamites it. So I should have seen that one coming.
What was the segue there?
Well, I was comparing our number of episodes to the number of Super Bowls. So.
Oh, right. Yeah, it was the Super Bowl, wasn't there?
Yeah.
It was
That's why I used that particular comparison.
So it was, I guess you'd say, a pretty exciting Super Bowl. Would you say this is going to be one of the ones I probably remember more than some other ones?
Yeah, it was a very entertaining Super Bowl. I mean, there is no shortage of stuff to talk about with this with this game, because really you can start with Cliff Avril, who had a concussion, was taken out, I believe, in the first quarter.
It seemed like the first quarter, but you know what? It might have been actually the third quarter.
Yeah, I've seen it both places, and I honestly can't remember. Or both ways.
Did you? Because I remembered it being in the first quarter, but then I read it being in the third quarter. So
yeah, I thought it was in the first quarter myself, and maybe I'm just remembering, because Seattle... Oh, I forgot the big first injury was the guy makes the pickoff at the goal line, but ends up probably breaking his arm.
Oh, that sucks.
Because I don't remember what they said, but they had it in... Oh, I think it was his wrist.
Now, was that Edelman that injured him?
Yes.
Interesting. Because later in that game... well, we'll get to it, I suppose. Yeah, that was a really hard-fought game. I think the Patriots probably earned it, as much as the pain's going to say it.
yeah, I mean, they made the comeback.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's...
And, you know, we haven't talked about the Pete Carroll play calling at the end there, but I think I can understand throwing a pass down there, and that, because you forget that they only had one timeout and it was 30 seconds left. You know,
see, now I thought that they had two.
They only had one at that point, because they called a stupid timeout, I feel like.
Okay, yeah, they did call one that was kind of stupid.
Yeah,
so
that kind of, they felt like they probably had, they couldn't run three times.
Right. That, I guess that might have been part of the problem. Passing plays do work, especially since they're such a run-heavy team. Calling a pass play is not the worst thing on the planet.
You may take issue with the play that they did call, but that's usually not a throw that gets intercepted, I guess I'd say.
It's a pretty short throw. You can probably fire it in there at best, even if someone breaks. Because that guy did have some ground to cover to break on that thing.
Yeah, and he made a hell of a play, too. I mean, he, like, got in there.
Yeah, I thought, upon first viewing, I'm like, oh my gosh, how was that not pass interference? But then they showed the replay of it, I'm like, that wasn't pass interference.
Yeah. Well, I was read somewhere that he had actually practiced that. They had practiced that play, and he got beat for a touchdown in the practice.
Oh, okay.
And then he was like, you know, you need to make that play if it's in the Super Bowl. And basically it just happened. And he had some kind of premonition before the play too, he said, that he was going to do something good. So I don't know.
Hey,
take it with what you will.
Yes, he is one of many people not named Tim Tebow that thanks God on a football field.
Right. Well,
on the regular.
Yeah. Well, at least he didn't mime pooping out the football, which I don't know if you saw that. who was that? The Seahawks player that did that?
You know what? I'm not sure if we were still doing dinner at that point or not, because we just kind of kept on peeking in on the game early. Yeah. We had planned on finishing dinner by game time, but we ran a little late. But I do remember seeing, like, I was like, what just happened there? Cause I think I saw the replay of it cause it was cut.
Yeah, no, they didn't show it.
Cause it's just like, what the hell's going on here?
Okay. Well,
well then maybe if they didn't actually show it.
Late breaking news here. Yeah. There's no video of it. I don't think.
Okay.
Doug Baldwin has been fined $11,025 for pooping a football. I don't wonder what the extra $25 was for.
Yeah, you can't just make it $11,000. Oh, no. It was 5.5%, and that's what the 0.5% was, the $25.
I love it on the Fox Sports site. It just says that he was fined for obscene gesture in Super Bowl. Deadspin, they just came right out and said he was fined for pooping a football.
Well, that's one where you had to know that one was coming.
I believe that Adam Carolla was a proponent of somebody doing that as a celebration for a long time. That's what I've heard. So I don't know if that had any influence, but... Doug Baldwin, I think, afterwards said that it was directed at somebody and that they knew who it was. So I don't know if that was Adam Carolla or some player, you know, Tom Brady, maybe.
Well, maybe someone put him up to a bet and he didn't want to out his teammate.
Oh, that could be, yeah.
You know, there are certainly a number of scenarios that you could cover there.
Man, it's just like you want to know. Hopefully,
inquiring minds want to know.
Hopefully, he'll make like a tell-all book at some time, and then we'll find out the answer, because I think we all deserve to know what who was that target, what was the intended message. You know,
it'll come out in a tell-all book eventually.
Yeah, he'll spill it on his deathbed, maybe, and then we'll all know.
He'll be like Franco Harris. He's gonna wait until then to fess up.
Oh yeah, whether that ball touched the ground first or not, whether he made a football move and able to control the football.
Oh man!
So, also in that game, we mentioned injuries, but
yes. Got off track from those.
Yes, there was, continues to be a shadow over the NFL, and I think everyone basically took an opportunity to fire off a few shots at Goodell for saying that they had reduced the concussions.
By 25%.
Yeah. When, you know,
this came up in the Super Bowl, but you had also sent me this, and I had honestly thought about it even more in the Steelers' loss to the Ravens.
Yes.
Where
the two
Roethlisberger got nailed, and
he looked a little bit slow to get up there.
Right, and he looked like the back of his head hit hard when he went down.
Right, so I guess that's the other thing. Like, if you even eliminate head-to-head contact, like, you can still, you know, hit your head on the ground, and it's like the same thing.
Right, and they even, because the one in the Super Bowl is Julian Edelman, who in the fourth quarter got rocked and kept on playing despite showing some wooziness.
Right, I guess he got up and then... eventually tripped over his feet and fell down for a little bit.
Yeah, like on a subsequent play, a couple of plays, and then he later caught another pass in that drive.
And apparently, I don't know if it was in the article that I think it was, where the someone, like, they have officials that are spotters that are in the booth to look for people who are showing signs of maybe having a concussion so they could be checked.
Yeah.
And Edelman did not come out of play, even after they, according to sources, the spotters had called for a medical team to look at him.
Both articles that reference it do also mention that they did an on-field test, which isn't it didn't sound like it was standard, because with Cliff Averill earlier in the game, they took him out to have the test done.
Right. So what's the difference? Why wouldn't they do that for Edelman? And if he was back in that next play, like after they had said that he should be checked, you know, it just seems a little fishy to me.
Yeah. Cause they even said, the one article said that it takes on the sideline and they have a 6 to 8 minute test that they can run him through to just check them. And they said that they ran him through that and let him go.
Right. But I guess I've looked into this a bit at this point, but I think the test, like, part of it is they have to wait a while. Like, they tell you some stuff and they ask you questions, and then, like, they wait a while and then we'll ask them, like, follow up to see if they still remember.
Yeah.
So 6 to 8 minutes, maybe just scraping by, but I mean, I don't know how you don't miss a play, though. Like, that just seems...
And that was the biggest one for me. Like, I don't know. I'd have to go... Well, he didn't miss any plays. Like I said, he kind of went on that whole drive, and then he had the rest of... Because he played 72 of their 74 offensive snaps.
Yeah. He only missed two plays. That's crazy.
He only missed two plays. So he clearly didn't miss anything the rest of that drive or even drives after that. So, I mean, he might have had time for that 6 to 8 minute test in between, but Seattle didn't really have much possession that part of the game.
Right. And I guess, you know, he kind of looked a little woozy, but to me, I guess the one that stands out more, like you said, I've probably been thinking about more, is the Heath Miller hit, where, I mean, I don't know. He just totally looks like his body goes limp when he gets hit there.
Yeah. I don't know how you feel. And there are two things that are kind of interesting about that, because Cam Chancellor was the one that hit Julian Edelman, and he didn't have a penalty called on him, even though a couple of people, both articles that I read at least, said that it should have, other former referees said that should have been called a helmet-to-helmet hit.
Yeah, and I did see that there was a referee, I think, tweeted about it or something.
So, there's, and I believe whoever hit Heath Miller, that looked like a helmet-to-helmet to me also.
Yes, it did to me as well.
And... there was nary a penalty with that one either.
No, and I don't think there's a fine. At least I didn't hear about it.
Well, see, I didn't hear about Doug Baldwin's fine for pooping a ball either.
I think that must have been late-breaking news here.
So I'm not going to... Yeah.
Well, that was around lunchtime, I guess, that came out.
You know, I'm not going to say that I keep a line open for what fines are, because some of them are small enough that they probably pass under the radar and I'm just not paying attention enough, or that the media doesn't, mention them.
Yeah, that was, I don't know what to think about him pooping the football. Don't know what to say about that one. It's an interesting, idea, I guess. Who was it that literally mooned? Didn't somebody literally moon the crowd?
Oh, no. Randy Moss virtually mooned.
Virtually mooned?
Yeah.
Like his...
He pretended like he...
He did it in a video game or something?
Well, he didn't moon anyone. He pretended like he unzipped his fly and then pulled down his pants.
So he pulled down his pants? Or he pretended to pull down his pants?
Well, he pretended to pull down... He unzipped an imaginary fly and then went like this.
Yes.
And, you know, bent down while doing it to, you know, emphasize what was happening.
Yeah.
I was quite amused by this.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, what's wrong with that, I guess. It's good, clean fun for the whole family. And everybody poops, you know, but not everybody poops a football. So
no,
I guess I'm torn by that one.
And not everyone in this game was thought to have a concussion, though.
True.
And just to, you know, get it back to the main point, at least, was that, the protocol for the hits to the head, because both Roethlisberger and Miller came back in. As we've already mentioned, Edelman played 72 of 74 plays. So, I mean, he was definitely in there the rest of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, even if he took off those two plays around that time period,
yeah,
that does not seem like sufficient time to get your faculties back together if you've really been scrambled.
Well, I don't know if you've ever mentioned this on a podcast, but you had a concussion yourself at one time.
Yeah, I have. And it was just such a nothing incident because I didn't even realize I had it. I was just backpedaling for a softball, and I either tripped over my feet, which I doubt, or I hit one of the potholes in the outfield or the short outfield at this field, because it was pretty terrible, which I will hope to believe. Plus, I misjudged the ball and I kind of jumped for it. And I ended up landing on, like, not flat on the back of my head, but it was one of those, I hit my back and it was more the whiplash that got me. And I got up, and my buddy who's playing second base says, "How many fingers am I holding up?" as he flips me off. And I said, "One, smartass." And at that point, I don't remember anything until some glimpses in the hospital, and not until we got out of the hospital do I really remember the remainder of the evening. It took a good couple of hours, and I didn't really do that much to myself.
Yeah, wow. So, I mean,
I forgot a good chunk, a couple hours. I didn't realize I threw someone out. I tossed the ball to home plate just fine. I believe I caught a ball.
Now, were people able to, were you carrying on conversations and things like that, or?
Well, that's when they realized something was wrong. I came in, and I kept on asking the same question over and over again.
Okay. So,
I forget what it was,
like, what time
did
is it
I,
or something?
Did I fall asleep, or have I been here for a while, or something like that?
Oh, okay.
And, the third time I asked it, I believe my ex-wife got marginally freaked out by the whole thing and decided that it was time to take me to the hospital.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I mean, I think there's probably, it sounds like you would have failed that concussion test, first of all.
Yeah, I definitely would have failed.
But I guess there can be milder versions of that where, you know, even if a player may not even realize something's wrong, I guess, or, you know, if they consider that something might be wrong, they don't, you know, they want to play. So,
right. Cause there is a certain, and I'll say that I probably did that playing hockey at some point where I probably played with a concussion that I didn't know was a borderline, you know, concussion.
Yeah. I can remember one day at football practice, a particularly hard block. I crashed helmets with the other player on my team, and we both were kind of woozy afterwards, but, you know, just went on to the next thing, you know?
Yep, shake it off, keep on moving. And there's something that you're taught that a little bit, but to me there's always some inherent thing to go ahead anyway, too. Like, I don't really think back and I'm like, oh, they really influenced me to do that. Well, you know, it's just like, no, I'm a bonehead. I'll just go ahead. If I don't think anything's wrong, then I'm going to keep on moving. Or if it's not that bad, like I know something's wrong, but it's not that bad, I'll keep going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess things have changed a little bit in football. But when I was in high school, the coaches would say, like, to aim your head at, not at the head. Well, actually, I think I do remember one coach who was like the defensive linebackers coach, and he would say to aim for the ear hole of the other player's helmet, which kind of seems brutal now that I think about it.
Yeah, that's a pretty rough place to aim.
But our head coach, who was, you know, more of a reasonable fellow, I'd say, said to aim with your helmet towards the ball, and, you know, the idea being to, like, knock it loose, I guess.
Right.
But even that is probably not good to use your head for...
a battering ram?
Yes.
Yeah, does not sound like the best use of things, especially since there's only so many ways you can hit them, and you're not only going to take air... you know, and I mean, a lot of people have it tucked inside, so I mean, you're going to hit a lot of body if you're going for that.
Yeah.
One, you know, even if you dislodge the ball, you've still got person to deal with underneath it.
Yes. Yeah, you're, yeah, that's true. I mean, if you miss the ball and, you know, hit the guy's body, then that's going to be pretty serious. But even if you hit the ball, usually they're holding on to it, you know.
Yeah, even if it has...
tightly.
Even if it has the right amount of air pressure in
That's
it.
That's true. Even if it's not a deflated ball. Yeah, they're still holding on to it, so you've got to, like, hit it with your head at least hard enough to dislodge it, which is not nothing. Anyway, that's bad coaching at this point, I think. But, you know, they didn't know about that stuff back then. Any last thoughts on the Super Bowl here?
I don't know. I do still think that Seattle should have run the ball despite defending not doing so. Especially since you just gained 8 yards. Or you go read option and let Russell Wilson run it in.
Yeah, I could see something like that. That would, I mean, because Russell Wilson, he's a pretty good runner.
Yeah. I don't know if he's quite running back skill level, but he's not too far behind.
No. I would say he's a receiver skill level, at least. No, maybe not quite. He's like a hybrid.
Yeah.
Like a small running back, I'd say.
Yeah, it's hard to say that he could really do the other positions well enough. Height and speed might be a problem at wide receiver.
Well, no, he's also, you know, luckily for being a quarterback, pretty great at throwing the ball too. So
yeah, that part comes in handy.
Yeah, it turns out that quarterbacks, when they can throw the ball, that's good. Just like you know. Got to give it, well, I guess, you know, Tom Brady, 4 Super Bowls, yada, yada. Do you think he's one of the great ones now? Would you, he's got to be, right?
I mean, he was already.
Yeah, right.
I don't think there is any disputing that. Just because you don't like someone doesn't mean you can't also say that they were great. So, yeah, I dislike him plenty.
Right. But you got to give him some props there, I guess, yeah. In some way.
He has some relative record as 4-2 for the Super Bowl, along with his head coach.
Now, I guess an interesting question, and let's see what this elicits here. If you could do a thought experiment where, okay, Tom Brady has the game he has, Seattle, instead of, you know, let's say they'd call that read option that we talked about, and Russell Wilson runs in for the touchdown. Would people be saying, like, Brady is not one of the greats? Because it's like, he did nothing differently.
No, he didn't do anything differently. I do believe that his two interceptions may have been perceived differently.
Well, yes, that's true. Like, now they're, like, forgotten completely.
Yeah, those are water under the bridge with a victory. You know, Tom Brady led them to two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and that's all that matters.
Right. But, yeah, I think that would definitely shade things differently, which is kind of strange.
Right.
When you think about it. Like, you can be judged so differently for not having really... for basically having done the same thing.
Yeah.
It would be exactly the same thing.
That's why I always hate the whole record thing for quarterbacks and head-to-heads and shenanigans like that, because there are so many plays that don't involve them.
Right.
That there are, you know, things that affect that. Obviously, their defense stepping it up after getting... kind of bitched out in the third quarter, really, because it was tied at halftime, wasn't it? Because they called by seven.
No, it was tied because they came back with that
last touchdown
there, kind of
was that because it would have been 14-10. Everyone thought, oh, I'll take the chip field goal. Yeah. So
screw that.
You know, obviously, the defense had to lock down Seattle's offense that had just put up a similar amount of points, or 14 points, in, or 10 points in the third quarter. Because, you know, any extra amount of points...
Right. So, like, if the defense didn't do their job, it wouldn't matter what Brady did, basically.
Right. Or if Seattle's offense had done its job, damn it.
Oh, yeah. Depends how you look at it.
Yeah, it's like a baseball pitcher's one-loss record is pretty irrelevant to me.
Yeah, that is kind of dumb, too. I don't know.
Yeah, because...
I always forget with football for some reason. I remember for baseball, I'm like, wait, why does the pitcher get the credit for everything? But I'm always... I guess I'm just brainwashed into it from all, you know, the announcers just always saying people's records, you know. I'm like, oh, okay. But when you actually sit and think about it, it's kind of BS.
Right. The only time a record matters to me is in some type of fighting where it's one-on-one.
But you would consider that a sport because there's defense.
Yeah, there is defense.
So we just need to
There's another person putting up opposition.
Oh, all right. Well,
sometimes
then...
it does not look like they're putting up opposition.
Okay, then, let's since we're on this topic, this philosophical question, would you say that chess is a sport? Because there's someone is playing defense there.
I'm going to have to go with no.
Oh, okay, so...
It's a skill.
I mean, you're doing something according to a set of rules...
There is not anything inherently athletic about moving a chess piece. I mean, it does require movement. It requires movement. But you do not need to be in good shape. Even the Babe, despite all of his drinking, evidently had some type of skills with a baseball bat.
Well, wait, you would say, do you think golf is a sport then?
No, it's a skill.
Well, why is that not a sport?
There's no... The hole doesn't get to reject the ball.
Oh, there's no defense. Oh.
No defense.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, there are very few people that can do that. And it is a very tough skill to master. But, you know, I'm going
it's
not
a
sport.
Wow.
I mean, because you could even, with the defense logic, you could argue that race car driving is a sport because other people will play defense to let you get ahead of them. They'll, you know, work with teammates to draft, that kind of thing. I mean, there's some offense to be had and some defense. Like, it's not maybe what you think of in a traditional, to me, sport.
And
which
I would
is,
say
you
there's
know,
a
football, baseball, something of that nature.
I mean, I'd say there's a physical element to race car driving. I mean,
the endurance to sit in there and to be going that amount of speed does have to take a toll on your body.
Right. And so I would use that to say that I could consider that a sport. I mean, if you're going to... Okay, what about, like, polo?
Yeah, because there are two teams.
All right. Okay, what
tennis,
about...
Tennis, yes.
Tennis? What about sprinting?
I guess, well...
No defense.
There is no defense. I mean, you could just consider that a skill.
That doesn't seem right, though, does it?
No, it doesn't seem right. Because, again, another impressive skill to have.
Like, so although Usain I'm not Bolt, sure, Usain Bolt claims to be an athlete, and you're like, sorry, buddy. You're just really skillful.
Yep, I said that to Tiger Woods once, too. He was walking past the course, and I shouted that at him, and he kept on walking.
It's like, security, can you get that guy out of here? Well, I don't know. I guess it's just hard to really define anything is what we're finding out here.
Yeah, you've got to construct your own rules to many of these queries of the mind.
Yes.
You may disagree, you may agree.
You don't have to go with the dictionary, I guess, is what we're saying.
Right.
You know? Find it out for yourself.
People have redefined words over the millennia.
Sure.
So why not keep on doing so?
Think of the word rap, you know? It used to just mean knocking on somebody's door. But now it also means, you know, wrapping presents for Christmas.
Yep. I thought you were going to go with gay. She used to mean happy.
Yeah, that's true. That's another one. The gay 90s, they weren't all homosexuals back then.
Yeah. They
were just happy.
Oh,
no, the
man.
1890s, they called the gay 90s. Did you know that?
Oh, the 1890s?
Like you had the Roaring Twenties or in the gay 90s were in the 1890s?
No, I had no idea that was...
But things were happy then. But yeah, that's... I guess.
Okay. Sure.
They just had a different take on the word.
Yeah, so it happens.
Well, words change meanings is what we're saying.
Yep. You're not allowed to say you throw like a girl anymore.
Not according to that Super Bowl commercial.
No, not according to that Super Bowl commercial.
No, I agree. That is kind of BS. Maybe that's just because I have a daughter, but it's, you know, you don't have to. I guess I'm sensitive to sexism type issues, but.
Yeah, you know.
But I do feel like they set those boys up at the beginning when they were asking them to throw like a girl. Because obviously, you know, they. What am I trying to say here? Like, I think they were just acting more for the camera than what they were necessarily really think, you know?
Oh, and I think that it gets, I understand the problem, but think that there are times where I'm like, really? Like, do that many people? And then, of course, I go back to I feel like I don't know that many people all the time. you know, it's one of those things where I guess I didn't think anything of it to say that. And I still don't in a lot of ways because it's just
like,
really, like, that damaged your psyche so much that this is, that you can't I don't know, get a job as a lawyer?
Well, I don't know if that's the case, but it's I could see it being hurtful though. If you know, you felt that that was kind of like the stereotype for girls that, you know, you're supposed to be, I don't know, ineffective at sports, or, you know.
Some of them are very good at sports.
That's right. So it just, it seems like a not true stereotype. So it's kind of like, you know, probably not a great thing to do all the time, I guess.
Yeah. I guess I'm a little surprised, too, that, like other trends, I'm surprised that that's still a popular insult. I feel like the kid insults have generally been a little newfangled in some ways. But maybe the new words are for the slightly older kids.
I guess that's an interesting thing, too, because they said, you know, the older people that they asked that question, you know, throw like a girl, they were kind of, in men and women were, you know, doing the same kind of gestures there. But then they had like the younger girls, and they were throwing and running or whatever, just like as hard as they could. So you wonder if, is that maybe somewhat a generational thing? Like the next generation coming up is going to be thinking about things differently? Or is it something that does happen at puberty? I don't know. We need to do a study on this, obviously.
Oh, just like we need to go over to Russia.
Mm. You know, if we're going to go to Russia, I think I'd like to do a study on some cows that they have over there.
Yes.
Because?
Because there is a cow known as Aita, or in English, excellent.
That's the breed?
Yes. It's an anti-crisis cow.
Yeah, they've been having some problems over there. And part of it is they shot themselves in the foot because they banned imports from like certain European countries in retaliation of food. Like they banned imports of food.
Okay.
From some countries. And
yeah, I knew that they were having some problems.
And they just, it's like to kind of try to stick it back to us for the sanctions we put on them for that whole taking over another country thing.
that minor problem.
Which I guess is not cool. That's the verdict from the greater world community, I guess.
Yeah, from a large majority of it.
Yeah. So they may have found some kind of answer to this, well, in an anti-crisis cow. That
it can live for a long time on its own internal fat and still give birth and feed its young.
I mean, yes, and the farmer says that it does get thinner, but it still is able to give birth and feed its young. And somewhere in another article I'd read compared it to these camels that used to be on the steppes, steppes.
Thank you for that area.
Yes, I didn't want you to think that they were always going up and down the stairs. like, what the hell is going on with these camels? But they were able to sort of live on, and like even in the winter time, survive out there. They actually, when I read the Wikipedia article, and this is off topic from the cows a little bit, but these camels really fascinated me because I think that the cows. Can I give you, we read in that Slate article, and I thought the same thing before I got to the end. This sounds like bullshit to me. Like, I don't think it's real.
Well, and I don't quite understand the use of that, to be honest with you, because it's still, unless you tell me it's going to birth more cows...
Or more calves. More calves at one time, basically.
And be able to feed all of them... I'm not quite sure why that's going to help your crisis of not having enough beef for people to eat.
That's true, too.
And, like, it's a little too light on information, in my opinion.
It might help, like, the farmers who...
It is coming from Russia, of course.
Sure. Well, they... Information flows freely there in Putin's Russia. But I guess it might help if like the farmers are having to buy feed in the wintertime, maybe. Then they won't have to they'll be able to spend that money on other things if times are tight.
Oh, okay.
Because their ruble is really deflated too, so that's a problem. Or
you
inflated.
Love talking about deflation, don't you?
Inflation. They were inflated the ruble, sorry. So people's mortgages and stuff are really going up, I guess, because it takes more of today's rubles to pay off what they owe.
Gotcha.
So everything is more expensive. So that's kind of a pain in the ass. So if they can not have to feed the cows, supposedly these cows can find food even in the wintertime. But I'm calling bullshit. I think it's just something that people try to make themselves feel better. But, if it helps people feel better, that's cool. But I guess in a way it kind of makes you think that things may be, worse than you necessarily think if people are willing to believe this kind of
nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of, but okay. So the farmer talked about the cow, or not the cow, the camel. They both start with C.
Yes.
I don't have a concussion. The camel that lived on the steps, again, not the staircase.
But where we got the name for it.
Yes. And is able to survive, even in the wintertime, with eating snow for water. Now, which was interesting because they are, I think, either the only one or one of three animals to actually be able to use snow as a water source, because normally, climbers of Mount Everest or whatever, they don't want to bring water with them, but they'll end up bringing a propane torch to be able to melt the water up there.
Oh.
To melt the snow.
Gotcha.
Because you're not able actually to melt enough with your mouth to survive. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But somehow these camels are able to pull it off, which is kind of interesting. And they're also able to live in, hot desert environments. They kind of look cool, I think. They're shaggy looking.
they do have quite a mop top there.
Yeah. So I was more into these camels than the cows, really. But so I was glad at least I read the article.
Yeah, and I didn't get much a chance to read about the camels, but I was surprised when you mentioned that they could hold 52 gallons?
Oh, right. Yeah, they can go for a month without drinking water, apparently. But if they are presented with water and they're thirsty, I guess, they could drink 52 liters of water.
Oh, 52 liters.
Yeah. Which, hey, still, you're acting like that's nothing.
Yeah, it's still a shit ton of water.
I don't even think in our most depraved days of drinking we could handle 52 liters in one session.
26 2 liters of beer.
I don't know how much beer is in a party ball. I don't know if we'll ever know.
But we will never be able to look that up on the internet these days.
It's impossible to know. But I don't think it's 52 liters.
No, pretty sure it's not.
So I'm impressed with this camel. The Bactrian camel is called.
Well, was there,
anything else about the camel?
Yeah, that you found extra fascinating?
Yeah, it was able to survive on basically anything. The way its stomach works and the way its digestive system works. It can even eat thorns, or they said, I want to say canvas and wool. They could eat stuff that would be unedible for most anything else. But they're still in danger. They may only exist domesticated, because there are some farmers that will use them as, work animals and whatnot. And I think for milk, actually. No, maybe it was horse milk. I don't know. Definitely it was horse milk, which is just weird, too. But, I guess these people
hey, if you need something.
It sounds like a pretty rough environment. And
yeah, it sounds... Oh, because it was... They mentioned that they lived in the Gobi Desert. So they're part of the Mongolian herd there. And that's quite a... And I mean, that's quite a diverse landscape to be adaptable to. A lot of animals are certainly not that adaptable to, you know, anything from freezing ass cold.
Right.
To hotter than balls.
Yeah, I'm being able to survive without water or, like, be able to eat just, you know, scrub brush or whatever. It doesn't, you know, that's pretty good. But then I guess it's kind of a bummer to see that they're in danger of being extinct now. Like, that's something that can survive basically anywhere. Is still we're still messing with them enough to drive them to extinction. But, you know, I blame Stalin. For the backstory to that, you can read the Wikipedia article.
Oh.
We're going to have our listeners do some homework, you know.
Well, a party ball contains 19.68. Liters.
Wow. 19 liters. And
yeah,
so that would
it's
be
one, it's 5.2 gallons and there's 3.78541 liters to a gallon.
So that would be like three or two and a half party balls, basically.
Yes.
We're talking.
Yeah. Which, yes, even in our heyday, I think we may have polished off a party ball. I know that you, Bill, and I finished off a party ball once. I know that there was a three-person effort to finish one.
Yeah, but I don't think one of us could do two and a half of them party balls.
Oh, no. I would have given Bill the best chance of doing that. And I still don't think he would have accomplished said feat.
No, I don't think so either. I mean... Hats off to that camel.
Well, we can talk about possibly drinking a dessert.
Oh, yeah.
It is a new dessert that is in Japan.
Apparently all the rage. People are willing to wait in line.
For an hour. For a dessert... It looks that is called a water cake.
Water cake, which is just intriguing, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you don't eat it within 30 minutes, it disappears.
That was the part I couldn't understand. Like, how is that possible?
Yeah, I don't quite understand disappearing.
Maybe it might turn into a liquid.
Losing its form?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it may just turn into a liquid. Because it reminds me a lot of... like a jello, except it's like perfectly clear in a sphere.
Right. That is the impressive part of this whole thing is getting it into that shape. That's just tough. I mean, it kind of looks like a flattened marble.
I don't even think it's flattened though. I think it's like a sphere.
Well, yeah, it's a sphere, but I guess it's not a it's not a complete circle. I mean, there's some depth to it, but it's not, you know, like it's not like the snowball here. It's not a perfect circle. It's more.
Well, I think it's just conforming to the shape of the thing it's in there.
Okay, to it's me, like it a looks little more deformed. Like a breast implant, I guess maybe.
All right, I got you there. I mean, I it's a little gross to think about eating a breast implant, but I think I see what you're saying.
Well, I was trying to get my point across, and that's the best that I could come up with.
It's like American Psycho in here all of a sudden.
Well, hopefully we'll have some Huey Lewis close out the show.
Wow, that would be amazing.
Yep, we'll have Huey singing.
Wait, and the news, or just solo Huey?
Just solo Huey.
Okay.
Well, it was the news.
Yeah.
In Psycho, so we...
We should go with that.
Yeah. Or American Psycho. Yeah, and this is actually it's a rice cake, is what this is. Yeah. And they did not really go through the process of how this was created at all.
Well, I think there's a a video. Did they link from that article?
Oh, no, I did not see that.
Okay. Yeah, I do believe that...
But it's served with a sugar sugar syrup and kiniko, which is a soybean flour.
Oh, I wonder what that was.
It's served... it's a mochi is this style of dessert. So evidently, this guy is just kind of...
have you ever had, like, the ice cream mochi? Mochi or whatever?
Oh, no. Oh,
it's really good. I really love it. So if it's anything like that, this would knock my socks off.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm willing to wait up to an hour in line for this. And plus, there's only like two places and two specific prefectures. I always love their name for state.
Prefectures. It does sound very, very formal, doesn't it?
Yes. Extremely formal. Like, too formal.
Like, province probably is somewhere in the middle, I would say. In Canada, you got the provinces.
Yeah, and definitely in other places. More French.
Yeah, other places I think you got that too, but... yeah, prefecture takes the cake.
By far. The rice cake, motherfucker.
Boom! You just dropped the mic.
Oh, well, we are not quite ready to drop the mic this week. Cause there is,
well, there was that video there that, you know, people should check out in case they're interested in trying to make this stuff. It's very... Oh. Low on details, but you can try at least to follow along.
Oh, well, there is one thing that you can definitely follow along with this on. It's a hashtag sippy time beer.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight's happens to be Green Flash Imperial IPA. And I've got to admit, a little hoppy for my taste.
Yeah. It's for me, it's not too hoppy for me, really, but it's, I guess, flat, maybe. It doesn't maybe have a lot going on with it, it seems like to me.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward, and when that happens with any type of IPA, it's Ken's gonna get us in trouble. Going to get our license pulled. Illegally right. Playing Huey Lewis.
I think if you keep it to like a 30-second clip, you're fine.
Oh, and I said end of the show, damn it, not in the middle of my wrap-up.
Well, you
can't
know.
Can't you hit pause?
I can do lots of things. All right, please
but,
continue.
Green Flash, they are out of San Diego, so if they're delivering here to the fine state of Ohio, more than likely you will be able to find them. And yeah, I guess hopefully later this week I will have up, of course it might be the same day as this post goes up, the review from the Ohio Beer Fest for this year. You did not join us.
No.
We also did not check a coat. This year, because...
Oh. Did that help with your exit experience?
Yes. That did help with our exit experience.
Yeah.
So
you're going to have some beers reviews coming up here?
Yeah, I've been a little lazy the last couple of weeks.
Nice.
Time has been a little bit of a factor, trying to do too many things.
Time keeps on slipping into the future. That's
yes.
What,
yes, it does.
We learned that from Steve Miller Band. But anyway, this is actually the a different band. It's Huey Lewis in the News playing us on out of here.
Yep, at Gozer 33, at DeFrango 11, at Stunt Granny is where you're finding this. Grandkids, have a good night. They say the harder rock and roll is still beating. And the
not be over.